Thank you, Nasser. I actually thought I was coming to debate the handsomest Palestinian in Australia, so I'll put those notes aside and talk a bit about healing instead. But I'll first say hi. My name is Leah Manaima Avene, and I stand here before you on this Kulin land that I've grown up on most of my life. I was born in Tuvalu, which many of you may not have heard of. It's a very small nation in the South Pacific Ocean. And we're made up of 9 atolls. And if we put all of those atolls together, it would only make 26 square kilometers of land. And so some of you may have heard of Tuvalu in recent weeks and months and years. Discussions of a treaty between Tuvalu and Australia have been ongoing, and currently my nation, my people, are making plans to permanently move from our lands across the ocean to places like Australia, Aotearoa and Turtle Island, because climate change has rendered our home unlivable. I think the last time I stood on this stage, it may have been almost 20 years ago, on a panel around climate change and about the urgency with which we need to act in order to ensure a safe future for all people, but certainly for Tuvaluans and many other low-lying nations around the world. And it's not lost on me that here we are again discussing an urgent, urgent need to save a people and to stand with a people and to listen to a people. And I recognize these patterns and processes of narratives that don't get listened to, categories of humans whose knowledge is considered inferior to others, and the warnings and warnings from people all over this world that are not listened to soon enough. And so I speak we're talking about healing and well-being. I'm a psychotherapist, I'm also a researcher and an educator. Most importantly, I'm a parent. And a community member and a daughter. But I speak about the idea of well-being on multiple timelines. More than one reality can exist at the same time. And so when I think about my well-being as a Tuvaluan, I am thinking about the enormous grief I've held my entire life, knowing that our land, our ocean was under threat, and that people were not ready to hear what we needed them to hear in order to keep us safe. And as climate change starts to impact more and more of the middle class and more people in their everyday life, people are starting to listen. And very similarly, Palestinians have been telling us since before the Nakba what was happening to their land. And for such a long time, so many of us have failed to listen. And something I'll say about this, and the reason that I can't separate education from therapy work, is because I talk a lot about learning injuries. I talk about the conditioning each of us have had that allows us to, or that prepares us, perhaps, to be almost allergic or so unwilling to be open to the very knowledge and information and stories that will set us free. We're prepared almost to reject our own liberation, because in so many ways, so many people have been warning us for such a long time, and yet we still defer to the very same knowledge systems that have failed us. So I'll talk a little bit about therapy and how I do therapy. Nasser mentioned I wrote a book about colonial fragmentation disorder. And as a Tuvaluan, I've spent most of my life trying to figure out, how do I get people to listen to me? How do I get people to listen to my community? And I did all the normal things. I did direct action. I spoke on a lot of panels. I did lots of awareness building. And I started to realize that there was a lot of interest and performance of interest, but the actual behavior changes that I needed to see people do was so difficult to actually implement. So then I started, I'm a musician as well, so I'd stand on stages and I'd sing and I'd tell stories about my people and about my home. And that felt you know, that didn't feel quite right either. It didn't feel impactful. And so then I started thinking about therapy. I was a broadcaster for years on PBS, telling stories about First Nations histories and poetry and realities from all over the world. And through all of these different ways that I thought, you know, how can we get these messages out? How come we're not listening to each other? I really struggled. And then I eventually ended up doing therapy, studying relational psychotherapy. Because I thought, if I can create the kind of relational conditions required, maybe then people will feel safe enough to hear the realities that seem, you know, so difficult to understand. And so I did psychotherapy and I studied it. And luckily for me, at the same time that I was studying psychotherapy, I was also part of a group of people who were bringing culturally responsive practice into the prison system, into the children's prison system in Victoria. And I'm really disappointed that Professor Gary Foley isn't here tonight, because on my very first day of work, he gave a lecture to every single one of us teachers who would walk in and out of the prison every day and work with the young people. And he told us about the long and extraordinary history of this land and of the people of this land. And he told us, he explained to us, he talked us through the way that we went from invasion. And Fanon lays out, you know, lots of people lay out, you know, the processes of colonization. But he talked us through the way that this land had moved from direct invasion and war into normalization, internalization, and then institutions like the police and the prisons that hold all of that invasion in place. And so I went in so naive, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna hang out, I'll play some hip hop, I'll, you know, talk about liberation, I've got Malcolm X's bio, like, these kids are gonna love me. And I was so naive. I was so incredibly ignorant to the life that I had lived, and the fact that I had never, none of my family had ever been scooped up into the prison system, or the foster care system, or the child removal system here. I had never had an incarcerated, well, that's not entirely true. I wasn't in close contact with members of my family that had been incarcerated. And I hadn't experienced these institutions that hold invasion in place and target First Peoples on this land. So I thought I had a whole bunch of ideas about what we could do together. But I actually had to sit and listen for a very long time to the stories of my students. And many of you won't be surprised to learn that the children's prison system in Victoria, it just writes a map of every global conflict and every annihilated peoples in this world. The children's prison system has always contained Aboriginal children, and then usually a huge percentage of the latest migrant wave in this country, whatever community is being targeted and vilified. And when the Greek community, when it was decided by the government, the Greek community, it was okay for them to be acceptable and to be absorbed into the middle class, it was then the Vietnamese community. And then after them, Eastern European communities, et cetera, et cetera. So our prison systems hide our participation in global conflict. They hide the invasion that has always been going on in this land. And they hide the realities and the brutality experienced by the children who bear the brunt of this system. And so as I was learning all of this, and as I was sitting and listening to the experiences of my students, I started to realize how irrelevant my skills and my information was for these young people until I started being transformed by their stories. Until I started being so hurt and so angry with them, not for them, because of what was being done to all of us, but being experienced by them. And so at the same time as I was learning psychotherapy, I was being taught how to placate the worried middle class well. I was being taught that when people came in with their problems and their suffering, that, you know, I could just do some of these micro gestures and a little bit of breathing and I'd be okay. And so these twin experiences were happening at the same time. And so when I finished my studies, I didn't register with the clinical organization for psychotherapists in Australia. I instead went to First Peoples who were knowledge holders, and I went to elders, and I started having conversations about how I might conduct myself as a therapist practicing on their land. And I started asking them, what do you need me to tell every person I sit with about what suffering means on this land? What do you need me to tell them about the stories that they haven't been exposed to? And so when I first started practicing, my clients were really baffled because they came to me to tell me about their problems, and I would say, your homework is to go to Professor Gary Foley's website that he built in 1993. And on a page there is the heroes of the Koori resistance. And every week I want you to read one of their stories, and I want you to tell me how it makes you feel about what has happened on these lands and who has fought for this. A lot of people will do their acknowledgements of country and not understand the depth of what it means to acknowledge where we are and who we are and what it means to be here. And so I continued to practice in this way. I got a lot of people that didn't come back, and a lot of people that did, but were still very confused. And it wasn't until after October the 7th that some of the people that I'd been working with started saying, oh, I get what you're doing here. I know what you're talking about. Because as we grieve the death of Anas and all of the journalists whose names that we have learned, as we grieve the death of the children who we are watching being annihilated, as we grieve all of this death, we have to also recognize that we live here 250 years on from the events that, like what we are watching in Gaza. And if that system became successful in disappearing all of the stories that we have bared witness to, that place could look a lot like it does here now. And what I say to people all the time is, when we don't understand the history of where we are robbed of the stories that can make every single one of us strong on this land. So when I talk about colonial fragmentation disorder, I'm talking about the disorder of the way that we are constantly turned away from each other, and we are constantly made afraid of all of the information and all of the stories that actually might present us with some sort of liberation collectively. So I don't know if I, oh gosh, that's really confronting, isn't it? I don't know what else is like most important to share about this, but I'm gonna say something that it feels so hard to say, but it feels really important. When I was reading Dr. Samar's book, and if you don't have it, please get it, and if you do have it, get another couple of copies and give it to other people who don't think that this kind of information is relevant for them. The pages that have broken my heart the most have been the pages where she is talking about the way that the annihilating occupation is starting to seep into the stories and the logic of Palestinian people. When all of that annihilation comes down, it starts to go sideways. We start doing this to ourselves and each other when we can't cope with the enormity of what is upon us. And as I've watched us organize the last couple of years, as I've watched, you know, clients come through my clinic and, students come through my classrooms, I have watched how we behave when we're distressed. And what I want to say is the stories of this place can help tether us to a legacy that is so much bigger than the one that we've been told by the Australian government. The Australian government organizes our relationship with this land. And I refuse that. I want to know what Kulin people have to tell me about this land, about their stories. Who were their Anasses? You know, who fought for them? Who were their fighters? Who were their story keepers? What kept everything so strong here for hundreds of thousands of generations before the colonizers arrived? So to finish, I guess I'll just acknowledge that, you know, we are capable of so much more complexity than we give ourselves credit for. I have to triangulate between an annihilation of my country that is already gone, this land where the invasion is ongoing, and the urgency of what is happening in Palestine all at once. And I don't think that that is a simple thing to do, but I think it's necessary because all of these things are related to each other. We can learn from history when we start to thread it all together and not make the same mistake again as we did about Tuvalu and so many other places that have been annihilated. So, to finish, I guess, if we think about our well-being as people who live on this land, do we just trace it back to our childhood of origin and to our primary caregivers and to events that might have impacted us through our life? Or if we're on this land, do we trace it all the way back to first contact, when the wound began that we now all live within? And none of this makes me hopeless. Actually, it makes me so full of hope. I'm so sad that Professor Gary Foley isn't here with us. But when I think about the grace and the endless love that First Peoples have poured into not only the land under our feet, but into each of us, if we know the term Wamanjeka, somebody fought. People paid for their lives, so we still know that word. If we know the term Nungochen, which is often, and I say these terms really nervously, you know, which is often mistaken as thank you. But as it's been explained to me, Nungochen in Kulin languages means I am in your presence and you are in mine. Because systems existed where people didn't need to say please and thank you, because there were such important, well-connected ecosystems that kept this place safe. So I don't say this from a place of hopelessness. I say it from a place of deep, deep devotion to this place, to all of our lands, to all of our ancestors. And yeah, I just want to bow my head to Dr. Samar and to Zainab and to the whole team that have made this possible, because the information and the knowledge that is being shared is so relevant to every single one of us, not just in our solidarity with Palestine, but just for our own souls in being able to